And the memory verse will go straight to this. I consider, says Paul, Philippians 3:8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And do you remember Acts chapter 9? When he heard Jesus' voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? How much his life changed. And yet he counted some of those qualifications as his reason to be self-righteous, persecuting Christians, zealous for the church. So there's sins of omission, sins that we when we don't do things we should, and sins of commission, sins that we commit. And one of the typical ones that Paul's talking about here is self-righteousness, thinking you're good enough. That's what he lived his life for as Saul. Remember Acts 7, he was there watching as they stoned Stephen. And he completely thought it was the right thing to do at the time, but completely misled. And I think that's where his warning comes from in verse 1 about it's no trouble for me to write these same things to you, and it's a safeguard for you because this is what I've experienced. And he goes on to say, look out for these people that want to tell you Jesus plus something is going to get you to heaven. There's no Jesus. And Kate's got a book about that, haven't you? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Is that the title? Yeah. And it's really, like just reading through it is enough to say, I've got everything I need. And I like that first song, I come empty handed. It's nothing but me and Christ in me that is my hope of glory. So he says finally at the start as if he's sort of summing up, but he's been going for 3 chapters. So rejoice in the Lord, he said. And why? Because it's Christ alone. So he says, it's no trouble to me to write these things again. And remember, he's a prisoner. He's a Roman prisoner, prisoner of the Romans, and he's urging others to rejoice. So even when his outward circumstances are troublesome and heavy, and he doesn't know when he's going to be out, if ever, he's still able to rejoice. So how do we go? You know, that's how I thought of it. Like, if I was Paul in that situation, would I be exhorting other people, writing a letter to say, rejoice, rejoice? Probably not. I'd be like those pigeons I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Grumble, grumble. So, and I think the same things, I mean, in that first verse, Philippians 3:1, to write the same things. There's a lot of value in hearing the same things over and over again. And that's why we do memory verses. And that reminds me of Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And as we were singing that, the second song, my hope is built on nothing less. There's been a couple of times I've shared with you that I've maybe it's at home group actually, but on 2 occasions in my posting career of 3 years, I have sung to myself in my helmet as I've ridden down the road delivering mail. And it's fantastic. You know, rejoice and have God's word hidden in your heart, even if it's through the words of a song. Because a couple of those readings we had tonight are the words of songs that we still sing, even now. And so there's a protection, and Paul says, this is a safeguard for you, to protect you against the lies that the world's going to feed you, to say, Jesus plus. And these are not unfamiliar people that will teach you this. There's some mature Christians out there still say that, you know, you've got to do these things. But that's actually how God changes your life afterwards. It's not about a condition that you come to him with all these things in order to accept Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So he says, look out, verse 2, look out for the dogs. And the Jews used to refer to the Gentiles as dogs. So this is a real backhanded way of saying, they're the dogs. Don't believe that you're a dog because you don't keep the law. They're the dogs and they're going to come after you. And that was a powerful image, those dogs eating rubbish. I don't get a chance to see the video beforehand. I hear the audio, but I don't know what he was doing in the car yard. What do you reckon? Is that?
We're all wrecks.
We're all wrecks? Okay. So he says, verse 3, we are, true believers are the circumcision. So we're circumcised in our hearts. You know, that's what he's getting at there. There's no need to have a physical mutilation, and that was the issue of the day. But today's thing is different, isn't it? You've got to not have a criminal record or not be drug addicted or not be divorced. You know, there's all these conditions that people say you need to have your life sorted out before you come to Christ. Well, that's not true at all. And that's the world we're living in. You know, the guy I live with in Derby grew up Catholic, and he said, "No, I can never be good enough for God." And he's 70. He's in his 70s now, And it really, I tried and tried to get through to him that that's not what it's about. The idea of religion is to show you how inadequate you are so that you can come to Christ. But yeah, still he hasn't got it. His name's Dave as well. You can pray for him. He's got half of it. Yeah, yeah, he knows the truth, he knows the Bible, but he still feels inadequate. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Don't come thinking you need to be having it all in order. Because he said, this is my experience, didn't he, verse 4. He said, I have every reason for confidence in the flesh, and yet it failed him. So he had it all in order, and yet he still knew when in Acts 9 there, when Jesus spoke to him audibly and blinded him for 3 days, was it 3 days? Until he went to see Ananias. And, you know, he was in God's hands. He was is crippled in a sense, and he had that opportunity to go, what's this all about? And we've all done that, haven't we? We've all gone, is this Jesus real? You know, what's my response to Jesus? And there's an opportunity there to speak into others' lives too and to say exactly that. By God's grace, I am what I am. So there you go. Pharisee had it all lined up, had the law all sorted out ever since he was a kid. He was zealous about persecuting the church and righteous, blameless. You know, we hear about Job being a blameless person but still suffered. Where else does the word blameless turn up? It's about no one can hold anything against you from the law point of view, but God still held his sin against him until he said, you know, God, I can't do it anymore, which is where the point we need to come to. So verse 7, again, another contrasting point. But whatever gain I had, says Paul, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And then later on, the word rubbish comes up, which is what we saw. That's pretty confronting, isn't it? Do you remember in chapter 1, for me to live is, and we said Christ, but to die is gain. And remember that challenge that night, for me to live is, and if it wasn't Christ, what is it? And that same word that you put in that week, if you were bold enough to put something in there, is exactly what Paul's saying here. Whatever I had, for him to live was all this legalism, all this stuff that he had lined up, and that is now considered rubbish. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So if you can rewind to that week, Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live was, I can't even remember what I put in there, there was lots of alternatives, but most days I don't think I'm getting up to serve Christ. I need to be disciplined in that. And even should I die, I'm still miles ahead. I think that's incredibly sobering. It really shows Paul's conversion and his passion, and here he is writing from jail that the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord is his main thing. For his sake, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, examined by him. Not having a righteousness of my own, and here's the contrast that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God. Isn't it? It's incredibly liberating, even to think all you have to do is repent and believe, and you receive the Holy Spirit, you have a guaranteed eternal life and a relationship with God, your Maker, and that's when the journey begins, really, isn't it? But then to throw off all this stuff we valued to that point. That's where Paul's at. And verse 10, I'm creeping into next week now, but verse 10 gives us the reason that, and his goal is to know him. To know him. To know the one who spoke to him on that road to Damascus and changed his life forever and guaranteed him a place with the Father. You know, Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father, and that's where Paul's at. So he wants to know him, and he wants to know, you know, that everything else means nothing, really. It's fantastic. I can't really say enough. But Christ is our righteousness. And I read this, which is kind of a useful way to end, I think. It kind of paints a picture of the process, as it were. So when a believing sinner responds in faith to the Spirit's work in his or her heart, they are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that's referred to in Romans 3, 24 and 26. In this condition, then, he or she is accepted in the beloved. It talks about that in Ephesians 1. And so clothed in righteousness, the believing sinner stands complete in Christ. And do you remember Philippians 1:6? I'll go back there. That was our memory verse. Being confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And this quote says, so thus clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the believing sinner stands complete in Christ. But we still feel like it's a journey, don't we, from the day we believe. We've still got growing and learning and changing to do. And that was the idea of the song, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour. We've still got to grow and learn, but it's no longer conditional. It's no longer something that we're trying to do to get to heaven. It's we're guaranteed, we're assured, where our hope is sure. It's exactly what I said at Naranda this morning. And when I was saying we've got this steadfast hope, I was pointing to the back door. As you go out there, your hope's sure. It was only me that got it. I don't think I actually verbalised that very well. But so the believing sinner stands complete in Christ. I think that's amazing. So, I never quite know how to end, but there you are. You've got plenty of fuel to go this week and to pray and to learn and to grow. And if you need to, if you want to, there's an opportunity there to read Philippians 3, 1 to 10. And particularly verse 8, which is our memory verse, so that you can be all proud and self-sufficient next week. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Let that be perhaps your daily quiet time, or something you say to yourself in the helmet as you ride your motorbike. Or whatever you do this week, set that up. Set that in. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and all that he has done in his righteousness for us. It's not about what we do. Despite what you'll hear. Okay, can I pray? Father, we rejoice again in what it is to follow you, to know you. To be able to pray and to understand these things from your word. I really praise you for what you did in Paul's life and the fact that we have it in writing. And it rings true within us, so that your spirit is rejoicing in us as we first off believe and then accept what Christ has done because of your great love and your grace for us. And that sets us up for a fantastic hope, a sure future, one that we can work not for our salvation, but in response to our salvation, to change the world, as you've told us, to hold out that word of life. So God, as we go this week, may that sense of excitement and fellowship that we had before this service started continue in our life with those who are yet to believe, so that we can say to them, everything else I consider rubbish, except for the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. And Lord, help us to be disciplined. Help us to be drawn to your word and to pray and to find the quiet moments so that we can hear your voice and not be led astray. Or be self-sufficient. As Kerry said, that our mind is renewed, Father. We've got a new mind of Christ, and help us to live in that way. Help us to be salt and light, to be seen and to be active in our relationship with you, that others may know, especially as we lead up to Christmas, Father. I pray for those that don't know yet who you are and what you've done for them, that we might have an opportunity to speak. And to do that with gentleness and love, and yet to share it as we go. So we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.